This is Tony Mottola on monitor. The song is You and Only You. Monitor 69, the best weekend companion around. I'm Brad Crandall. From England this week comes news that a local dairy has a course to teach milkmen of the dangers of amorous housewives. They actually have instructors to educate the milkmen in the delicate art of avoiding a pass. The rules? Be friendly, but not familiar. Don't get involved. Deliver the milk, but don't go into the homes. Chin up, milkmen of Britain. You're still allowed to wink, but only while driving away.
I want to laugh all of my laughter. I want to cry all of my tears. I want to turn on my lights and see all of the sights and hear all of the music before it disappears. I want to sing all of my love songs. I want to drink all of my wine. I want to ride on a style. I can fly a giraffe. This life is my lock and I won't take half. I want to laugh all of my life.
Morgan. One of the most dramatic and effective movements to cure drug addicts has been the Synanon organization. For a typical case history and more details on how Synanon works, here's John Burns, noted authority on drug abuse, talking with Miss Betty Carlisle, director of the New York Synanon facility.
Betty, I understand that you were on drugs for some 5 years as a young girl, starting at age 16 down in Virginia. What were you actually doing with drugs, and how did it affect your life at that time?
Well, I didn't start out terribly involved with drugs. I left home when I was 16 and moved to New York and tried to live an adult life, only I was a very immature girl. I started out smoking pot, marijuana, and pretty soon started dropping pills and started using some of the harder narcotics. And I used speed and barbiturates and heroin and morphine. I used the whole gamut of the drug spectrum.
And then you discovered Synanon.
Well, I came into Synanon in 1963, and I came here as an effort to do something about the trouble I'd gotten myself into as a result of using drugs. And of course, what I found when I came to Synanon, I got much more than I bargained for. It was much more than a place to clean up from drugs. Synanon, aside from technically being a California corporation, that does something about the re-education of drug addicts, is also a way of life and a community and a philosophy for which people can live by. It is a community of people that are living a different kind of life than the kind of community that breeds drug addicts, violence, racial discrimination. There are none of these things in Synanon. We have white, black, young and old, addicts, non-addicts. We have a cross-section of the entire community.
Looking back over your experience, you were how long before you were graduated from Synanon?
The average length of the Synanon program is 2.5 to 3 or 4 years. Now, when I was in Synanon that length of time and I reached that point, I decided to stay with Synanon as an employee and work in Synanon, as most other people do.
Well, that sounds like an amazing organization. Now you're even accredited, I understand. The children come into Synanon with their families. They now have a school. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, as I said, Synanon is primarily an educational institution. And in line with this, we have created our own educational system everywhere from nursery school up to college age. None of the children in Synanon, either the children of residents or young residents themselves, go to public schools. We have the nursery, we have grammar school and junior high school, and a college program also. We're a very large organization with 1,300 residents throughout the country, and we have the need to, you know, that any family has magnified 1,300 times.
Betty, I'm sure that many of our listeners would like to know more about Synanon, and I wonder just how they might find out about it.
Well, they can either call or write Synanon. On the East Coast, that would be Synanon on 35 Riverside Drive in New York City. And on the West Coast, I would suggest Foundation Headquarters, which are 1910 Ocean Front in Santa Monica, California.
Thank you very much, Betty. We have been talking with Miss Betty Carlisle, a former drug addict and now director of the New York Synanon facility. This is John Burns for Monitor.
Next, a Monitor News feature. President Eisenhower is scheduled to undergo surgery tonight at Walter Reed Hospital. Here with a background report on this famous Army Medical Center is Ron Nesson, NBC News, Washington.
Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington becomes an important dateline whenever General Eisenhower or some other VIP is a patient here. President Truman was treated at Walter Reed. So were Secretaries of State George Marshall and John Foster Dulles, General Douglas MacArthur, royalty and government leaders from overseas, and World War I's General John J. Pershing, who opened Walter Reed, spent the last 7 years of his life as a patient here. But these VIP patients are only a tiny part of Walter Reed's service. Every year, 16,000 patients are admitted, ranging from wounded soldiers from Vietnam to sick cabinet members and servicemen's wives having babies. In addition, 1,000 outpatients are treated every day. Soldiers and their families with headaches, sprained ankles, toothaches, and other minor complaints. To care for its patients, Walter Reed has 45 air-conditioned wards with plug-in telephones and television sets, 1,250 beds, 2,000 doctors, nurses, medical technicians, and other employees. The hospital sits in a lovely 113-acre park in a quiet residential section of Washington, The red brick Georgian buildings nestled among 20,000 trees, rolling lawns, and flower beds. Not only is Walter Reed big and pretty, it's good. Its specialties are care for heart patients, chest surgery, radioisotope diagnosis, X-ray therapy, and eye surgery. It has a bone and blood bank, artificial limb factory, and physical therapy facilities, including a heated indoor swimming pool. General Eisenhower is in the presidential suite on the third floor of the main building. A large, airy bedroom, a living room, a sitting room, and a private bathroom. The walls are painted pale blue and eggshell white. It's decorated with paintings, including a portrait of General Eisenhower himself. Walter Reed was named for the Army major who discovered the cause and cure of yellow fever. Ron Nesson, NBC News at Walter Reed Hospital.
Later tonight, President Eisenhower will undergo surgery at Walter Reed Hospital. Stay tuned to NBC for later developments. You're on the monitor, Beacon. Monitor continuing with Herman's Hermits.
Something is happening and it started happening when you walked by. Something is happening and it's changing everything. Do you know why? Soon as you started to kiss me, something new suddenly hit me.
Sports with a look at the week ahead. On Tuesday, the World Figure Skating Championships in Colorado Springs, the Greater Buffalo Professional Bowlers Association Open, and the NCAA and NIT basketball tournaments send out bids. Wednesday, the $50,000 added Black Helen Handicap at Hialeah. Thursday, the $150,000 Doral Open Golf Tournament in Miami. Friday, the North American Snowmobile Championships in Winnersing, Michigan. And Saturday, the World Wrestling Championships in Mar del Plata, Argentina. the men's and women's national AAU indoor track and field championships in Philadelphia, World and Nations Cup ski racing at Squaw Valley, California, the 100,000 added Santa Margarita handicap at Santa Anita, and the $75,000 added Hialeah Turf Cup. That's what is and will be in sports. Monitor music. This is how O.C. Smith sings Honey.
See the tree, how big it's grown, but friend, it hasn't been too long, wasn't big. I laughed at her and she got mad. The first day that she planted it was just a twig. And then the first snow came and she ran out to brush the snow away so it wouldn't die. Came running in all excited, slipped and almost hurt herself, and I laughed till I cried. She was always young at heart and kind of dumb, kind of smart, and I loved her so. I surprised her with a bucket, kept me up all Christmas Eve 2 years ago. And it would sure embarrass her when I came home from working late, 'cause I would know that she'd been sitting there and crying over some sad and silly late, late show. Guess you could say she saw through me and hugged my neck. I came home unexpectedly and found her crying needlessly in the middle of the day. And it was in the early spring when flowers bloom and robins sing. She went away. One day, she was there and all alone, the angels came. Now all I have is memories of honey, and I wake up nights and I call her name. Now my life's an empty stage where honey lived and honey played and loved. A small cloud passes overhead, honey love. Oh, honey, I miss you. Listen, and I'm being good, and I'd love to be with you. Oh, if only I could. Honey, 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 I miss you.
Monitors ring around the world, a close-up of people and events both at home and abroad. President Nixon's upcoming visit to West Berlin. That story now from Cy Perlman, NBC News, Berlin.
President Nixon flies into West Berlin Thursday for a 3 or 4 hour whirlwind visit. The schedule here is tight. It includes a look at the Berlin Wall, a 20-minute speech to factory workers, and a meeting with local officials. And it is doubtful whether he will have enough time to talk with any of this communist ring city's 2.2 million people, something he plans to do in stops in Paris, London, Bonn, and Rome. But Berliners, gregarious, friendly people, are not angry. He won't have any time to do much sightseeing, said one local taxi driver, but he will have time to let Ulbricht and Brezhnev know that America doesn't plan to forget us. If President Nixon does have time to speak with some people here, he will find the vast majority favor continued American support for West Berlin and a strong U.S. warning to the Soviet Union and to East Germany to stop trying to interfere with this city's freedom and viability. In fact, at the present time, the East Germans are prohibiting West German legislators and military personnel from coming here by car or train, a retaliatory step against West German plans to hold presidential elections here early next month. If the president spoke with students here, it would be very likely turn into a very unhappy episode for him. West German student unrest got its start here a couple of years ago, and several thousand West Berlin students, followers of Mao Zedong and Karl Marx, continue to lead the opposition against U.S. and Bonn government policies. The students don't expect to speak with President Nixon during his short visit, but they hope he will hear them. Radical student groups say they will defy a police ban and hold an anti-U.S. demonstration outside Charlottenburg Castle while the president is inside. West Berliners hope that the planned student action will not cause the president to forget that most of them are glad that he is coming, even if it is for a few hours. Cy Perlman, NBC News, Berlin.
Ring Around the World, another in our weekend series of close-ups of people and events, both at home and abroad. It's Tijuana Brass, Monday, Monday. Never on Monday, but always on the weekend. That's Monitor. We're available to you on station WFLA, Tampa, Florida, at 97 on your dial. All stations identify themselves next, then Monitor returns. I'm Brad Crandall.
This is Roscoe. Now is the name of the show. Hugo Montenegro is the name of the guest. Just one of the now people you'll meet next week on NBC Radio.
President Eisenhower will undergo surgery at Walter Reed Hospital later tonight. Here is the announcement made by a hospital spokesman.
The physicians at Walter Reed General Hospital and the civilian consultants mentioned in the previous bulletin have further evaluated General Eisenhower's condition. It has been determined that surgery will be performed this evening to relieve the intestinal obstruction which has not responded to conservative measures. The General and Mrs. Eisenhower accepted the decision for surgery with equanimity. Another bulletin will be issued later.
Stay tuned to Monitor and NBC for further developments.
What if the winter brings ice and snow?
Monitor warms your heart, makes you glow.
'69. I'm Brad Crandall, and that was Hugo Montenegro's chorus and orchestra. On Friday, our space program takes its next giant step with the scheduled 10-day flight of Apollo 9. Hollywood is keeping pace with the program and now has in production a film which examines the possibility of an astronaut being marooned in space. The movie stars Gregory Peck and Richard Crenna. In a dressing room conversation, Crenna discusses his make-believe celluloid space adventure and the real thing as he chats with Monitor reporter Roy Neal of NBC News in Hollywood.
Well, Mr. Crenna, you've done a good deal of research. You've studied the space program. It'd be interesting to hear from you what you think of the United States space program as it's being practiced.
Well, Roy, I think it would be very difficult for me to improve on the comments and the poetic statement of Archibald MacLeish after the flight of Apollo 8. I know there's a great deal of controversy, contradictory opinions about our space program. We do know that we have problems here on Earth. We have poverty. We have unrest. We have many things that should be solved here and that will be solved. Unfortunately, the space program takes a great deal of money. And people have evaluated the program purely in terms of its monetary drain, I'm afraid. I'm a romanticist, I guess, at heart, now overlooking the technological advantages of the space program. I'm a great believer that the world, not only the United States, but the world needs heroes. And as long as there is outer space, somebody's going to try to conquer it. We're going to lick the other problems. We have to lick the other problems. But the contributions that space makes will benefit all mankind.
Your picture, Marooned, deals with a thesis that could happen. Three astronauts could actually be marooned in space. What effect do you think that would have on the public at large?
We discussed this in the picture. It's a statement that's made by Gregory Peck, who plays our ground scientist. I think we were all terribly, terribly distressed when we had that disaster on the pad down in Florida, and I think we were all very much moved by the sacrifice that those three astronauts made. But I think, I don't speak for the astronauts, but I think that all of these men go in knowing the risk that they're taking, and yet all of them are more than willing to take the risk. They feel destined. The astronauts, as you know, Roy, you've spoken with all of them. Many of them are friends of yours. They're very much alike in that they feel that they can't be touched by death somehow. I think you'd have to have that that feeling. They're very much alike in that respect. All of them. They never think of what could happen. They have the finest scientific minds. They're confident in their material and their hardware, and they go up knowing that they're coming back. That's all. They never. You know, we shouldn't feel sorry for the astronauts because they know what they're doing.
Without exception, every one of them. Thank you, Richard Crenna. It may never happen, and if it does, it may never happen the way it's described in the picture in which three astronauts are marooned. This is Roy Neal in Hollywood for Monitor.
Connie Francis now, The Wedding Cake.
Don't be troubled about me, 'cause I'm tired from working around the house when day is done. Don't think you failed me, 'cause you can't afford that dishwasher to make my life more fun. You know the measure of a man is much more than just the money he can make. And every woman knows love, joy, and tears come with the wedding cake. The wedding cake is not all icing and love and tender whispers in the dark. One slice is concern for all your dreams, pray they won't come true and break your heart. Another slice is feeding kids and wiping noses, crying when the doorbell rings and there are roses. Every woman knows a lot of give and take comes with the wedding cake. So when the hands of time trace tiny lines upon our face and lace our hair with strands of gray, we'll laugh and sing for all who will partake. It all comes with the wedding cake. Yes, for all who will partake, it all comes with the wedding cake.
You're where the now sound is, every weekend, everywhere on the Monitor Beacon.
Mm-hmm.
It's now 14 minutes before the hour. You're back with Monitor. I'm Brad Crandall, and here is Glenn Campbell.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston.
Here's a brotherly word or two on behalf of the National Conference of Christians and Jews. Does it make much difference who lives next door to you? But it makes a lot of difference. After all, you have to live there, does it make any difference to you what your neighbor's skin color is, or religion, or national origin? Do those things have anything to do with being a good neighbor? Uh-uh. You see, brotherhood begins with you. Miss Dionne Warwick.
You see this girl? This girl's in love with you. Yes, I'm the one who looks at you the way I do when you smile.
Thank you.
I tell you what, you want to go to a party?
All righty, we have got a party. As a matter of fact, we've probably got the liveliest party in town for you. This is the Laugh-In Gang, and if you haven't heard any of the excerpts from their new album, Laugh-In 69, then you have probably missed one of the prime examples of the style and timing and pacing in comedy, which has helped to make Laugh-In now an institution and probably the most copied comedy timing and comedy system in the world. Tell you what, are you ready? Let's go to the party.
Movie code is something else. The film Romeo and Juliet has a love scene between two 14-year-olds. You have to be 21 to see it.
Perhaps the reason more women don't run for the Senate is because every 6 years their seat is up for grabs.
Problem is that the people in the backward countries are way much too forward.
Kids today really have it soft. When I went to school, it was 10 miles each way. And my chauffeur never complained.
Laugh-In 69, part of a brand new album being given its national premiere this weekend on Monitor. Freshmen on Monitor. Next, Monitor Sports. These are exciting days in the nation's capital. The Washington Senators have hired Ted Williams as manager, and the Washington Redskins have hired Vince Lombardi as coach. For a report on the football picture, Monitor's Joe Pellegrino spoke to Bart Starr, Lombardi's quarterback, when he was with the Packers.
Bart, what can the Washington fans look for in this man? Of course, they read a lot about him, what happened in Green Bay, but what kind of a change do you think they'll see? Will it be an immediate change on the field, do you think?
I think so. I think his the discipline of his club will be shown immediately. There's just something about a Vince Lombardi-coached ball club that's prominent while it's on the field. It's hard to describe things sometimes, but you sense it and you feel it. It's a great pleasure to play for him. I think the Redskins are in for a treat in that respect. I don't think they will have ever been exposed to the type of organization that he'll give them. He's just a remarkable man, and I truthfully consider it a privilege to have played for him for the length of time that we did.
Well, I know you yourself personally have said that you'll certainly miss the man. How will you miss him?
Well, his very presence, he brings with himself a great deal of confidence. You want to associate with a winner, and he's, of course, that in every sense of the word. But he's a great teacher. I literally owe my football life to him, Joe. He helped make me what I am and mold me into the football player that I am today, and I'm very grateful. He spends a lot of time with it. He's very, a lot of people would think that he's not patient, but he is, because you have to have patience in order to teach. And so he is patient. He's very intense, and he's not long on patience when he thinks that you're making the same mistake over and over. But he does have patience because he's willing to take the time to teach you and properly prepare you so that you can play the game well on Sunday.
Bart, you had a very unsatisfactory year for yourself. You were injured much of the year, and there was some talk at the end of the season that you might want to pack it in. But quarterbacks kind of last a long time, and I think you got a lot of good football left in you. How do you feel, and how much longer do you think you'll go?
Well, thank you, Joe. I'd like to think that we have some left in us anyway. I don't have any real timetable. I'd like to play a few more years. I spoke to someone earlier and said that as long as we can make a genuine contribution to the ball club and that we feel good, and I feel excellent now. I did have some unfortunate injuries, but that's the way life is sometimes, that we like to play. And so at this point, we're definitely coming back next year, and we'll just play them by each year and see what happens.
Bart, we look for that man in the green jersey out there and that gold helmet to be leading the pack for a number of years to come. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you, Bart Starr. Joe Pellegrino in Washington for Monitor Sports.
Kemford's Orchestra and just a touch of a new one called the Maltese Medley. Among today's news developments, the start of President Nixon's European tour and scheduled surgery for former President Eisenhower later tonight. Details of these and other stories coming up next through NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Stay tuned. This is Brad Crandall.
This is the NBC Radio Network.
Take your freedom seriously and use it, don't abuse it. It's really your responsibility to use it, don't abuse it. If there are changes you'd like to see, use your freedom responsibly. Voice your opinion constructively. That's the best way to guarantee you'll be free and be able to use it. And never lose it. Come on and use it. Don't abuse it.
If you take your freedom as seriously as we do, won't you join us?
Send for your free copy of Freedom's Handbook to Freedom's Foundation, Valley Forge, PA.
Use it. Don't abuse it.
Come on and
use it. Don't abuse it. Use it. Don't abuse it. Come on and use it. Don't abuse it.
Spend the night with Long John Neville and his friends. You'll find a new day has dawned. Midnight to 5 a.m. on WNBC Radio 660 New York.